Information, please. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts. Here's how you do it. Send us questions on any subject under the sun with the right answers. Each question we accept wins you $2. Our experts guarantee to answer every one of them correctly or pay you $5 for each one that's too much for them. You figure it out. You can win as much as $7 per question if you're brighter than we are. Our master of ceremonies is Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Fadiman.
Thank you, Mr. Cross. Good evening, everybody. Our authorities this evening are the usual four in number. Franklin P. Adams, columnist of the New York Post. John Kieran, sports expert and dendrologist. Hiya, Denny. Make up the regular half of our quartet, and they'll be supported by Mark Duffield, day news editor of the New York Herald Tribune, and by our guest of honor, Mr. Oswald Jacoby, widely known as a top-flight bridge expert, but who I understand knows a lot about other things as well. This is our chance to find out. Also yours, Mr. Jacoby. Now, gentlemen, the rules are very simple. Raise your hand if you think you know the answer. A question composed of no more than two parts must be answered by one man. But if it has more parts than that, the board may cooperate. If any part is answered incorrectly, we lose $5. When you hear that cash register ring, that means the questioner is getting his $5. And ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience, remember that information, please, is unrehearsed, free as the wind, unpredictable as tomorrow's newspaper. Let's go. The first question comes to us from Summit, New Jersey, from Miss Elizabeth Bigelow. Miss Bigelow wants you to give the present-day slang that parallels these expressions of the past, and there are five of them altogether. 123 skidoo. Mr. Jacoby.
Scram.
Scram is right. There's another one, perhaps not as modern as scram.
Beat it.
Beat it, yeah. That would be about 1932. When would you say the 23 skidoo was popular? Do you go back that far?
1905.
About 1905. What month, Mr. Adams?
In June, from Little Johnny Jones.
That seems accurate enough. I'll accept that. Two.
I think it was the 8th.
I knew we'd get it. I knew we'd get it, folks. Here's an old expression from the past. Fiddle face. One I'd never heard before. Fiddle face. Fiddle face. You can guess on these, gentlemen, if you wish. I'll take a good guess. Going, going.
The Durante type.
Would be fiddle face?
No. But I think that the expression I'm trying to think of has to do with Durante. Sardola. Yeah.
No, that wouldn't be quite right. Fiddle face and sourpuss would be exactly the same. That's one wrong. Three, sparking. Sparking. Mr. Duffield.
Necking.
Necking is quite right. That was very quick out of Mr. Duffield. Thank you. Four, some pumpkins. Some pumpkins. Mr. Duffield.
Big shot.
No, I don't think that would be quite so good. I can think of one which would be more accurate. Some pumpkins. Miss Adams.
A pip.
That's about 1929, I think. I mean, really modern. Hot stuff, I think, would be an approximate parallel to it. Hot stuff. And five and last, this is up your alley, Mr. Duffield. Kiddo. Kiddo?
Hot mama.
No, I won't let Hot Mama go while I have the opportunity to keep her. Mr. Jacoby.
Hey.
Yes. Or even more modern than babe, maybe.
Puss.
Yes, hiya, Puss. That's right. I think it's usually prefaced by hiya. Well, that's going to cost us $5. We got two wrong out of five on that. $5 for Miss Bigelow. Very good question, I think. The next one is for Miss Rosalie Canselmo of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She wants you to supply the last names of each of the following famous authors. I'm going to give you their first names. There are five of them all together. One, George Noel Gordon. Mr. Kieran.
Lord Byron.
Lord Byron is quite correct. Two, Pelham Grenville. Mr. Adams.
Wodehouse.
Wodehouse is quite correct. Three, Alan Alexander. Mr. Adams.
Milne.
A.A. Milne, that's right. Four, Charles John Hupham. That's a sticker.
How do you spell it?
Charles. You know how to spell Charles.
Yes, but
you know how to spell John.
Yes.
Huffam. H-U-F-F-A-M. Charles John Huffam. I think the Huffam has got Mr. Kieran puzzled. Got to get 4 out of 5 on these. Let that one go. Mr. Adams, do you have a flash? No. Mr. Adams has no flash. Mr. Kieran has no flash. The answer is Dickens. Charles John Huffam Dickens is his full name. And five, Herbert George.
Herbert George, Mr. Adams.
Wells.
Wells is quite correct. Herbert George Wells, H.G. Wells. Well, that's going to cost us... No, that's right. I got 4 out of 5 on that. Just got 5 by the skin of their teeth. The next one from Mrs. Archie B. Dorrance at Albion, New York. This is a tough one, and I think a rather important question. Mrs. Dorrance wants you to give the important event, at least very highly newsworthy event, that happened on each of the following dates. And again, you have to get 4 out of 5. The first date is March 5th, 1933. March 5th, 1933. Mr. Jacoby.
Roosevelt was inaugurated.
That, I'm afraid, is wrong. One wrong. Mr. Duffield.
The banks were closed.
Yes, the bank holiday declared by President Roosevelt. You got the character right, Mr. Jacoby, but the event wrong. It was Mr. Roosevelt, but it was a bank holiday. The second one, now we have to get them all right from now on. December 10th, 1936. December 10th, 1936. Not allowed to give you any hints on this one. Not allowed to give you any hints on any of them.
We can consult on this question?
No. Cooperate does not mean consult. And don't nudge him either, Mr. Sharon. Give that one up. A very famous event indeed. The abdication of King Edward VIII took place on December 10th, 1936. The third date, May 28th, 1934. May 28th, Mr. W.
I have a feeling that the Dion Quintuplets had something to do with that.
Yes, they did. 5 important events. They were all born on May 28, 1934. That's quite correct. Mr. Duffield is something of an authority in the Dion Quintuplets. He follows their career.
Can't fool me now.
The fourth question. I beg pardon.
You can't fool me on them now.
No, I know that. Fourth. July 18, 1938. Fairly recently. Mr. Kieran, I somehow feel you ought to get that one. No? The answer is Corrigan landed in Ireland on July 18th, 1938. Well, that's 3 wrong. Now the last one, January 20th, 1937. Mr. Jacoby.
You can't beat me on Roosevelt twice.
No, I can't. What's the answer?
Second time you got inaugurated.
Yes, the inauguration of Roosevelt, the second term. What's unusual, Mr. Jacoby? Mr. Jacoby, what's unusual about that January 20th date for an inauguration?
That was the first inauguration of the president after the lame duck amendment.
That's quite right. Ordinarily, we inaugurate on what date?
Ordinarily, inaugurate about January 20th. Now on. You used to inaugurate on March 4th.
Yes, or Monday. That's quite right. Well, that, I'm afraid, is going to cost us $5 going to Mr. Dorrance of Albion, New York. A tough question. Now, the next one involves two sports. Mr. Jacoby, would you call contact bridge a sport?
Wasn't this afternoon. Usually it is.
Well, I don't know whether we ought to call the sport a business or a mania, but the following question involves both baseball and contract bridge. So Mr. Malcolm C. Sherman of Marshfield, Massachusetts, wants you to mention 5 terms or expressions that are used in both those games or sports, both in baseball and in contract bridge. Mr. Sherman.
A double.
What would it mean in bridge?
Oh, a penalty challenge to a person who has made a contract. You claim they can't make it, and...
Right, Mr. Jacoby. Right. Jacoby's our court of appeal on this. Mr. Jacoby, how about another one?
A pass.
A pass is perfectly all right. That's 2. Mr. Jacoby, another one?
Take out.
I beg pardon?
Take out.
Oh, take out a man?
Yeah, take out a partner.
That's all right. Yes, that's 3. 2 more. Mr. Adams.
Diamond, but I don't know whether they use that in bridge or not.
Probably they do use diamonds and bridge.
13 of them.
Yes, there are 13 of them. That's enough. Yes, diamond, of course. Very good. That's 4. 1 more, Mr. Kieran.
A club.
Club, yes. Very good. And there's another expression they use at the end of a long bridge game, Mr. Jacoby, which might also, one word of which might also be used in baseball. Yes, Mr. Adams.
Home.
Yes, that's right. It's about time we went home. Did very well on that. Got 5. The next question from Mr. Angus Gillespie of Great Neck, New York. Oh, this is one of my favorite kinds of questions. Mr. Gillespie wants you to sing or quote. Note the caution of Mr. Gillespie. Sing or quote the answers to the following questions based upon old songs. Now, there are 4 of them. 1. Where did Clementine live? Don't all answer at once. Mr. Jacoby, do you want to sing or quote? Make up your mind.
Sing.
I beg pardon? You've never tried.
I have tried. We wait with no success whatsoever.
All right, Mr. Colby, you can pull it if you be so good.
In a cabin by the river. It's close beside the mine, so on. You want to
get in a cavern in a canyon.
In a cabin in a canyon. You've got the cabin. That's good enough. In a cabin in a canyon, excavating for a mine, lived a miner, 49er, and his daughter, Clementine.
Like she wasn't like a fairy.
Pardon?
Like she wasn't like a fairy.
And you know, were number nine.
Get off, Mr. Cameron. I can't have you singing Clementine all evening. Two, where did McGinty go? Where did McGinty go, Mr. Turing?
Down to the bottom of the sea, dressed in his new suit of clothes.
That's right. Three, where am I when weeping for darling Nellie Gray? Oh, this is a sad one. Mr. Adams. Mr. Adams looks the most melancholy of the four. No, Mr. Jacoby.
I am sitting by the river and I'm weeping all the day.
Very good.
She's gone from the old Kentucky shore.
Pretty good. Do you boys, when you play bridge, also sing?
No, it's bad enough without it.
I think it is. Four, where is Dinah? Where is Dinah? Great hand, gentlemen, if you know. Mr. Jacoby again. He's a bear of this sort.
State of Carolina.
Yes. Dinah, is there anyone finer in the state of Carolina? And just off the record, gentlemen, can you give me the answer to this one? Where doesn't Annie live? Mr. Kieran.
Annie doesn't live here anymore.
That's right, Mr. Kieran. Four out of four. Very good. The next one from Mrs. E.L. Bagley of Plainfield, New Jersey. This is an odd one. Mrs. Bagley wants you to identify the following Indians. You know what an Indian is, Mr. Adams?
An American Indian?
Yes, an American Indian, yes. I don't mean the Gandhi kind. I mean the sort of people you meet outside of cigar stores. An American Indian. Now, there are five of them all together, and you have to get four out of five. The first is Tecumseh. Tecumseh. T-E-C-U-M-S-E-H. Who was Tecumseh? Don't know that one. Well, they all do. Mr. Adams, Mr. Cogan, Mr. Sharon?
Well, he was an Indian chief who fought way back about, I should say, roughly 100 years ago against the American forces.
Yes, that's right. Under the British in the War of 1812. Very famous Shawnee chief. That's quite correct. Two, Powhatan. P-O-W-H-A-T-A-N, Mr. Jacoby.
The father of Pocahontas.
Yes, famous as the father of Pocahontas. Three, Conkapot. K-O-N-K-A-P-O-T. Conkapot. You have to have read something, gentlemen, to know the answer to that.
That's the name of a Pullman car on the old CB&Q, I think.
Thank you, Mr. Garfield, for that very interesting piece of information. Probably quite true. Sorry, I can't let it go.
Leather stocking tails.
No, that's just a guess, wasn't
it? The only Indian books I never read.
Now, you hold on. We may come to that. No, it's one of Rogers' Rangers in the novel called Northwest Passage by Kenneth Roberts. So that's one wrong. The next one is Chingachgook. C-I-C-H-I-N-G-A-C-H-G-O-O-K. Mr. Jacoby.
Chingachgook was the father of Uncas, and the last Mohican by James Fenimore Cooper.
Yes, there we got a lot of stocking tails, and that's quite correct.
The son of the great Unamis.
A big pardon, Mr. Chair.
Chingachgook was also a son of the great Unamis.
Unamis. And five, got one wrong so far. We have to get this one quite right if we're going to get by. Five, Tonto. T-O-N-T-O. Tonto? Oh, this is simple. Tonto. Don't know that, Mr. Adams. Mr. Jacoby. Four radio stars.
Tantalizing, isn't it?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Duffield. Mr. Jacoby.
He was the Lone Ranger. He's Lone Ranger's head Indian.
Yes, that's right. Well, we almost had the Indian sign, a new gentleman then. Well, we got just four out of five. Just getting by tonight. The next one from Miss Ida Marks of New York. You're asked to complete the following couplets. Which are all taken from The Bad Parents' Garden of Verse, a book of verse by Ogden Nash, famous humorous poet. Now, the first one is simply called Baby, and it goes this way. A little talcum is always
welcome.
That's right, Mr. Karen. Thank you very much. To the parent. Children aren't happy with nothing to ignore, and that's what parents were
for.
I have to have the line exactly, I'm afraid. And that's what parents were. This actually has rhythm and scans. And that's what parents were, Mr. Dillon.
Give us the first line.
Children aren't happy. Children aren't happy with nothing to ignore. And that's what parents were
designated for.
I wouldn't let it go. That's approximately it. And that's what parents were created for. We must be exact in the case of Mr. Ogden Nash. That's one wrong. The next is called pediatric reflections. It goes this way. Many an infant that screams like a calliope could be soothed by a little attention to... Mr. Curran.
Podiatry.
No. A nice guess. Any infant that screams like a calliope could be soothed by a little attention to its diope. All should know that. Two wrong out of three. $5. Not so good on children, gentlemen.
Not so good on men.
We've lost $15. See whether you can retrieve your reputation in the latter half of the program. Next one for Mr. George Ritchie of this city. Gentlemen, if you walked into the following fictional houses to be found in works of fiction, whom would you expect to see? Have to get 4 out of 5 on this. 1, a schoolhouse in a hollow. If you walked into a schoolhouse in a hollow. This is a fictional house. It's Kieran.
Well, Ichabod Crane.
Ichabod Crane, from what story?
He lives in a sleepy hollow.
That's quite right.
Washington Irving.
Very good. Yeah. Want to tell us any more?
No. Tell you the story with Gretchen.
Betty Wood, too. 2, if you walked into a roundhouse which contains the Cannonball Express, whom would you expect to see? Miss Alice.
Casey Jones.
Quite right. 3, if you walked into a hothouse in New York City filled with orchids. Mr. Kieran.
Walter Venschel.
No. I don't think I'll let that one. You might, conceivably. Mr. Duffield.
The next S. Van Dyne character.
No, you're next door from
her. Oh, I can.
Mr. Kieran.
Nero Wolfe.
Yes, but we have to call it wrong all the same. Got that on third try. Now we have to get the next two quite correct. If you walked into Sis Callie Fluker's Bowden House in Birmingham, Alabama, whom would you expect to see? Mr. Jacoby.
Florian Slappy.
Florian Slappy from what stories?
Octavius Roy Cohen.
That's quite right. You read too, Mr. Jacoby.
Barely.
Pretty good. And if you walked into our boarding house, whom would you expect to see? Our boarding house. Mr. Kieran.
The autocrat of the breakfast table. Oliver Wendell Holmes.
No, I'm specifically...
Well, that would be my boarding house.
Well, I'd like to let that go, Mr. Kieran. Mr. Jacoby.
The Major.
Which one?
Major Hooper.
Major Hooper, yes, in the famous cartoon character. Well, I hate to paste up a $5 loss on you, but to be absolutely accurate, I have to do that. $5 going to Mr. George Ritchie. Tough question, I think. The next one for Mr. William McGarry of Brooklyn, New York. Mr. McGarry wants you to supply an appropriate slang term, which is the name of a food, for each of the following. For example, nonsense would be what?
Nuts.
Yes, or baloney. Now, here's one. An easy and lucrative job, a sinecure, especially a political sinecure. The name of a food designating that, Mr. Jacoby.
Plum.
A plum would be quite right. 2, a slang term for aggressiveness or brazen assurance. Name of a food or any part of a food, for that matter, Mr. Kieran.
Hard-boiled egg.
Hard-boiled egg? I think I'll let that go. Yes, I think I'll let that go. Hard-boiled eggs, all right. Thank you, Mr. Kieran. Crust is the one I was thinking of. 3, a dandy or fop. Dandy or fop. You have to go back a century or two to get the proper slang term for that one. Miss Adams. No? Mr. Kieran.
Macaroni.
Macaroni is quite correct. In the 18th century, that was the term for a dandy or fop. 4, to complain over much or unduly would be Miss Adams.
Beef.
To beef, yes. Or another word, Mr. Duffield.
Crab.
Yes, beef or crab. Mr. Jacoby.
Grouse.
Pretty good. Grouse is good. That's a bird. 5, impudence or insolence. Mr. Duffy.
Sauce.
Sauce is quite correct. 4 out of 5, very good. Think of any other besides sauce?
Applesauce.
All right, Mr. Kieran, thank you very much for the MND. The next question, from Mr. A.W. Robinson of Birmingham, Alabama. What presidents of the United States during the 20th century were, or are, ardent fans of each of the following? Fans or devotees of each of the following sports or activities. One, boxing. What president associated with boxing? Mr. Jacoby.
T.R.
Yes, Theodore Roosevelt. Quite right. Two, medicine ball. Mr. Duffield.
H.H.
Oh, he's a medicine
ball. Why?
No, I remember.
You recall him Herbert Hoover.
Herbert Hoover, yes. Herbert Hoover. Three, detective stories. Detective stories. Mr. Adams.
T. Woodrow Wilson.
T. Woodrow Wilson. Well, what was Mr. Woodrow Wilson's first name?
Thomas.
He knows everything. That's wonderful. Thomas is quite correct. Not even part of the question. Four, swimming and sailing. Swimming and sailing. Mr. Jacoby?
Theodore Roosevelt.
Yes, Franklin D. Roosevelt, quite correct. And five, and last, peanut eating. Peanut eating. Miss Kieran.
Calvin C. Coolidge.
Calvin Coolidge, that's quite correct.
John C. Coolidge.
That's five out of five. They know their president. The next one, from Mr. Harry Kerr of New York. He wants you to name four books, each of which has one of the following card games in its title. And there are four altogether, and you have to get four out of four. This isn't so easy. Name a book with the word bridge in it. Mr. Jacoby, the bridge expert.
The Bridge of Sion Louis Ray.
Now, that required reading in your field?
Never read it. I heard the title.
Bridge of Sion Louis Ray. And who wrote it?
Thornton Wilder.
That's quite right, Mr. Jacoby. Mr. Duffield, do you have another one in mind?
No, he stole my bridge.
He crossed his bridge before you came. Two. Casino. Casino. See no reason why that should stump you, gentlemen. Don't like that. All right. Mr. Kieran, Casino?
Well, I think it has a murder story with the name Casino in it.
You have to name the title. Sorry.
I just saw the title. I don't remember.
I give up. Give up on that one? I have to get four out of four on this. Mr. Adams, do you remember any novel with the word Casino in it? Mr. Jacoby, you don't play Casino, I suppose. Baby's game.
It's a good game, but it's not
played. You haven't read that game for a long time. It's the Casino Murder Case by S.S. Van Dyne that you were thinking of, Mr. Sharon. One wrong. Now, I think there's only one answer possible on the next. Poker. Poker. Mr. Adams.
The Outcast of Poker Flat.
That's quite right. By whom?
F. Bret Hart.
Yes, you wouldn't accept Pocahontas, would you, Mr. Adams?
I would.
Oh, you'd accept Pocahontas.
You did.
I thought you'd make me give that back to the Indians. Well, here's the four. Hearts. Hearts. I can give you one in German. There's a very famous book by Heinrich Heine known as, I think it's Hearts Reise, Journeys in the Hearts Mountains. I won't accept it. For myself, either.
What about Hearts and Flowers? Did they ever make a book?
It's a song. I don't think it's a book. If I find that it is a book, I'll give you credit. And get your slip at the door.
Okay.
No, there are only two that I can think of at the moment. One is Hearts Enduring, a novel by John Erskine. Another is Hearts Desire by Emerson Howe. Or Huff. Which would it be?
Huff.
Beg your pardon. We got two right and two wrong, and that's going to bring $5 to Mr. Harry Kerr. Tough question. The next one from Miss Ruth E. Perla of Elberon, New Jersey. This is going to take us back. Oh, I don't know how many years it's going to take you, gentlemen, back. How many years back do you want to go, gentlemen? Make your choice.
Pocahontas.
All right, we'll go back all the way to Pocahontas, Mr. Adams. I'm going to ask you to complete each of the following rhymes. Complete each of the following rhymes that come from old autograph albums. You know those things that used to have velour covers on them? Mr. Kieran remembers that. Got a fond look in his face. Take that fond look off your face, Mr. Kieran. One. When you get married and live upstairs. Remember the line that followed that in the old autograph album? When you get married and live upstairs. Mr. Kieran?
Well, the last part of it is don't put on airs.
That's right. That's half of it. Don't sit. Oh, if you could only give me the first half, how happy I would be. Don't sit by the window and put on airs. Give you half credit on that one. Two. Have to get four out of five on this. Think of me by the river. Think of me by the lake. Think of me by the river. Think of me by the lake. Oh, that's a famous old one. About 1907, Mr. Adams.
Before my time.
Before your time. Think of me on your wedding cake and cut me a piece of cake. Don't you remember that? Well, you've had no love life, gentlemen.
No album life.
Three. My love for you shall never fail. My love for you shall never fail. And there used to be a picture that they used to draw, I think, after that one. Mr. Eric Sheeran?
I'll take a guess. Until this wedding cake gets stale.
No. You let it go. All right, I'll let it go. You wish? The right answer is as long as pussy has a tail. As long as pussy has a tail. I'll call that right. Four. I wish you health. I wish you joy. I wish you health. I wish you joy.
Busting John the barefoot boy.
Oh, no. Mr. Sheeran, you're making up your own album this evening. I wish you health. I wish you joy. I wish you first a baby boy. Pretty sentimental, huh? And last, oh, this one you ought to know. Don't like that, Sheeran, eh? Five, read upside down and you shall see. Read upside down and you shall see. Oh, gentlemen, what an unfortunate childhood you've all had. Awfully sorry for you. Read upside down and you shall see that I love you as you love me. Still don't recollect it, Mr. Kieran. What were you doing at the age of 9 on June 31st? Well, that's going to cost us $5. Going to Miss Furler of Elberon, New Jersey. See if we can get some of the next question in. The next one comes from Mr. Joseph Altshuler of Cincinnati. Identify the following personalities prominent recently in the news, and that means very recently. Get 4 out of 5 on this. First, Prince Henri, Count de Paris, or Prince Henry, Count of Paris. Take your choice. Sir, Mr. Duffield.
He flew back from Belgium to France to try to get the throne back to the French pretenders.
That's quite right. Two, Lord Craig Avon. Lord Craig Avon.
British ambassador somewhere.
No, sorry. Not quite British. Prime Minister of Northern Ireland. Three, Paul Henry Spaak. S-P-A-A-K is the way that's spelled.
He's a big shot in Belgium.
Yes, how big?
Fairly big, medium size.
Oh, yes, he's as big as they come. He's the premier. And General Yu Han Mu. Yu-Han-Mou. Sorry. No time. See if you can get the next one. Pedro Aguirre Cedra.
New president of Chile.
Yes, elected president of Chile. And Yu-Han Mu is the military governor of Kwantung Province who surrendered Canton to the Japanese. Well, that's going to cost us $5 too, going to Mr. Altshuler. And now I'm afraid that's all we'll have time for tonight. Information please seems to have lost how much? $30. Next Tuesday evening, the board of experts will consist of Mr. Adams again, Mr. Kieran, Mr. Oscar Levant, and as our guest of honor, Mr. W.E. Woodward, famous biographer of Washington and Grant, and of a forthcoming biography of Lafayette. And your master of ceremonies, ladies and gentlemen, will be ably replaced, more than ably, for this one broadcast only, by the famous playwright, George S. Kaufman, author of innumerable Broadway hits and co-author of the current success, The Fabulous Invalid. And now, Mr. Cross, will you take the mic and remind our audience of the rules once more? Information, please, thanks you and asks you to come again.
Thank you, Mr. Fadiman. We meet again next week at 8:30 for another Battle of the Public versus the Experts. Please send us questions, any number of them, with the correct answers. And don't get worried if our editorial staff changes or edits your question slightly. Remember, $2 per question if we use it. And an additional 5 spots if it stumps the board. All questions become the property of Information Please. Send them to Information Please, NBC Radio City, New York. Until next Tuesday evening at 8:30, good night all. This is the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.